If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation, amen?
Right.
For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything.
That kind of sounds familiar, doesn't it? Sounds like chapter 6 and verse 15. But notice what it says. It gives us a little more clarification on the standard, doesn't it? Doesn't it? Faith working through love. Now, Mike Hartman said, faith is the victory that overcomes the world. The world and the culture that we live in has in part damaged us until we became Christians and became a new creation and the old man was severed, the new man is Christ. But until we get the thinking process reprogrammed, which is be transformed by the renewing of your mind process, see, it's a process, but the reality is that it's the faith of Christ by which we overcome the world in our personal lives, the internal warfare, and in the lives of others, the external warfare that was shared this morning. Faith working through. Faith working through what?
Love.
Title of the lesson. The faith of Christ produces the love of Christ, which will develop the family of God. The faith of Christ produces the love of Christ, which develops the family of God. The family of God can only be produced that the world is recognizing it as the family of God. The family of God can only be produced by the love of Christ. They will know we are His disciples by what? Our love, or just our love? Our love for one another. That was a great sermon, by the way, this morning. And the love of Christ is produced how? Faith working through love. Faith manifests itself, the faith of Christ will manifest itself in what? In love. The family of God will be developed and come to the fullness that God desires as it walks in the faith of Christ. The love of Christ will be manifest in us. Does anybody know what 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22 says? Since you have, in obedience to the truth, purified your souls for what? For sincere love of the brethren. Fervently love one another from the heart. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but what? The imperishable Word of God. See, born again. What is that talking about? New creation. That's what it's talking about. The new creation standard, then, is the faith of Christ working through the love of Christ. And so, let's talk about the faith of Christ once again. Briefly, though, and the love of Christ. And then finally, let's get down to the practical, developing the family of God. Faith of Christ, Galatians 2. Faith of Christ, Galatians 2. And we're not going to go to verse 20. Galatians 2, verse 15 and 16. Before we read this, because we're jumping into this thing, I'm going to ask my brother Steve to come up and ask the word of blessing, and then I'm going to have him come up and preach a little bit later. So, would you come up and ask the word of blessing on the lesson? Oh, yeah, sure, that'd be fine.
Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for our brotherhood in Christ Jesus. Lord, you've made this all possible through the sacrifice of yourself. And Lord, it is in our being living sacrifices that we can truly fulfill our role, our mission here, Lord, to represent you well, to glorify you in all ways, and for you to glorify us. Father God, I just pray for my brother Bill here that you would give him heart of wisdom and season his lips and his words with salt so that we all might be able to come to the fullness of the knowledge, Lord, and a oneness of the faith. I pray in Jesus' name. aims.
Amen. All right. Thank you. Appreciate that. Galatians chapter 2, verses 15 and 16. The context is Paul is speaking about having challenged Peter because although he understood what it meant to be a new creation, he was pulling away from that and going back to the law and standing aloof from the Gentiles. And so he publicly rebuked Peter. And in the context, notice what he says here in verse 15. We are Jews by nature and not sinners from among the Gentiles. Now that word we is very important because the word we is going to be used again. And we have to come back to this, we the Jews. Alright, verse 15. We are Jews by nature and not sinners from among the Gentiles. Nevertheless, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but through the faith of Christ Jesus. Even we, Jews, have believed in Christ Jesus, that we may be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. Since by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. We are justified by the faith of Christ. Now that's a very important statement. We are justified by the faith of Christ. Now, let me ask the question. What does it mean to be justified? Someone help me out here. Just as if I'd never sinned. When were we justified before God, Nick? When we were immersed. Would everybody agree with that statement? Okay, we got confirmation that year. Thanks, Nick. Appreciate that. Okay? When we were immersed, we were justified. Because there was that propitiation applied where the debt was satisfied by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen?
All right. And so we are justified by the faith of Christ because we believe in Jesus Christ. Now there's a difference between believing in Jesus Christ and the faith of Jesus Christ. Okay? Belief. That belief there, believing in Jesus Christ, that's trusting Him as Master. Trusting Him as Lord. Trusting Him as the Christ. The prophet, priest, and king by which our salvation is secured. Now do you believe that Jesus Christ secured your salvation once for all? Alright? That's believing in what He did. That's not participating in what He did. The faith of Christ is participating in what He did. So, faith in Christ will lead you to the faith of Christ. You see, believing in, that word believe there is pistō. It means to trust or have confidence in Him. And the faith of Christ means to actually participate in and be active in the context of the life that He lived. Now here's a question. And you know the answer. Where does faith come from? Where does faith come from? Hearing the Word. So we can be transformed by hearing the Word if we'll embrace it as our truth. Correct? And so, where does faith come from? Faith comes by hearing and hearing the Word of Christ. We know all this so far. Why did Jesus set His face like flint to go to Jerusalem? There was no way anyone was going to stop Him from going to Jerusalem. Why did He set His face like flint to go to Jerusalem? What is it?
Scripture can't be broken.
Like Psalm 22. Right? What's Psalm 22? Faith comes by hearing, hearing the Word of Christ, or in this case, for Christ, the Word of God. Psalm 22 says something about Christ. What does it say? What does that mean?
My God.
And what is that talking about? He knew exactly what was going on in Jerusalem. He had a date. Didn't he? He had a date. What about Isaiah 53? And we could go on and on and on. Someone said it this morning, and Kevin, I think it was you. This can either be a set of do's and don'ts, or it can be an illustrative documentation of our life. The Old Testament illustrated the life that Jesus Christ would live and die. He looked into the pages of the Old Testament, He saw Himself, and He walked therein. The faith of Christ. Disagreement. Why did he say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Because it is written. He walked in the Word. He went by faith that he might justify the many. He saw it in the pages of the Old Testament. Remember, as on the cross, he called by saying, I am thirsty. Why did he do that? What is it? To fulfill Scripture. He did it all to fulfill Scripture. Wait a minute, boys, we can't go into Jerusalem quite yet. We need a donkey and the four of them. Oh, whoa, hold up. Well, man, I'm set my face like flint, but wait a minute, before we go in, we gotta get a donkey. Full of a donkey. Well, why? Why did he do that? To fulfill Scripture. He saw it. He knew that was him. And he lived it. The faith of Christ. Did Jesus Christ believe in what the Father said he would do for him? He knew that he would be raised up on the third day, didn't he? Did he trust God? Absolutely. Complete and total trust. He believed in God, and therefore his faith became active, and it was the faith of Christ by which we were justified. By his faith, we were justified. But now let's take on the faith of Christ. Why did you set your face like flint to go to the waters of immersion? There's only one reason. On August 12th, 1982, about 11 o'clock in the afternoon, I was working for the Forest Circus up in the Deschutes National Forest. And I was reading my Bible, and I was a good, faithful Baptist boy. You know, Baptist boys read their Bible every day, right, Mark? And amen. They read it every day. And I've been studying the elementary teachings about the Christ, and I studied through repentance and realized that the Baptists had told me wrong. Did they tell you wrong, too? They did. And I went, whoa, they lied to me about repentance. And so when I got to faith, they lied to me about that, too. Now, whether it was a sincere lie or a deceitful lie, who knows? When I got to studying the immersions, Acts 22:16. Taking a break, I was working Wilderness Guard, taking a break by a Mirror Lake, up, could see South Sister in the Three Sisters Wilderness, and I was reading my Bible, and I was trucking along in Acts 22, and I came to verse 16. What are you waiting for? That's kind of how it sounded in my ears. Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins. Now, you know, as a Baptist, you know, you are baptized as an outward sign of an inward grace. Did I get that one right? Yeah, all right, I remember. That's messed up. That's not in the Scriptures. That's not a faith. That's the doctrine of men, the doctrine of demons. That's messed up. Why tarriest thou? That's really what it was like, because I had the RSV. Why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. And you know what? It was like a spiritual 2x4 came out of heaven. What? Woke up my atheist partner. Get up. I gotta be immersed. Huh? I'm not a Christian. If you're not a Christian, you go to church every Sunday. I'm not a Christian. We gotta get out of here. He goes, we're not there. I said, we're done today. I'll make it up next week. Being a government worker, you know how that works. I gotta get it done next week. And so we drove, and it was his turn to drive the truck. We were 35 miles out of on mountain roads, out of Bend, and I was going, Mike, can I drive? No, it's my turn. Go. Drive careful. Right. You don't understand, man. I can feel the flames licking my feet. Okay, he thought I was a nut. So we got down there, and I was waiting for my roommate to get home that had a semi-conscious awareness of the Bible, and I said, Kevin, we're going down the Chute River. I'm getting baptized. Well, Penny already baptized. I don't care who baptized me. It was a Baptist baptism. I knew it was wrong. Kevin, go down there. And we had another roommate who was a Lutheran. He didn't know what. What are you doing? I thought you were sprinkled when you're a baby. No. Scotty, bring the Bible. So we go down there. Scotty's up on the riverbank, Kevin's down in the water, and Scotty said, what am I supposed to do? I said, read Acts 2:38. Why? Just do it. And I said, Kevin, quote it. So Scotty read it, Kevin quoted it. 9:38, new creation. I set my face like flint to go to the water. Why? For the same reason that Jesus set his face to go to Jerusalem. There's only one reason. The faith of Christ. No other reason will work. Faith of Christ. I'm going to that water to have the blood cleanse me and the Spirit fill me that I'd be raised up to walk in newness of life. That I would participate with Him in His death and His burial and His resurrection so I could walk in that new life so that people could see a new man, that I could be seated at His right hand, and that my life, if I live it by the faith of Christ, would now be the standard. Remember the new creation standard? Neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything but a new creation. And those who will walk by this standard, live by this standard, grace and mercy be upon them. And I needed that grace and I needed that mercy, didn't you, Mark? And that's why you were immersed, right? For the right reason. That's right. Faith of Christ. But just more than just dying and being buried and raised, it's that new life that we need to walk. That new life. The new creation standard, Galatians 5 verse 6. Faith working through love. Now Jay said I needed to preach on marriage and husband's role, or we'll get to that. I'm getting you tooled up to get to that point, okay? So the love of Christ. But let me finish this faith of Christ with an illustration I heard by a Baptist preacher. I'm going to steal it from him because it works. It didn't work for him because he kind of had the other stuff messed up. Okay? This guy is a tightrope walker. And they used to do this. Read about it. Over the Niagara Falls. Stretch that wire across. And this guy walked across and walked back. Wow. It's amazing. Do you believe I can do it again? So one guy said, well, you believe you can do it again? Just put money on it? Well, I'll put money on it. Guy walked back. He says, you think I can do that with a wheelbarrow? Sure. I believe in you. You showed me twice you could do it. So the wheelbarrow comes back. Then the guy says, you really believe I can do it? Sure do. Think I can do it with somebody in a wheelbarrow? Yeah. You didn't. I don't want to participate with you in that one. I believe in you, but I'm not going to participate with you. Even the demons believe. Right? They believe in Jesus, but they don't have the faith of Christ. They're not willing to participate. They're not able to participate. They've chosen their place. We, on the other hand, have a choice. You have a choice today, by the way, to participate in the faith of Christ. As you participate in the faith of Christ, it will produce something. Faith produces what? The new creation standard is faith working through. Is that right? Or am I misquoting that? Have I twisted something, gentlemen? Well, if I twisted something, we need to stop. I'll get somebody else up here. We honestly do need to do that. Is the new creation standard faith working through love? The perfect law of liberty? The law of Christ? Show no partiality? Is it faith working through love? And what kind of love? Human love? What's the great commandment? Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love thy neighbor as thyself. There's danger in that one if you're a man of faith, or excuse me, a man of flesh. Why? There's loopholes in the law, isn't there? What's the loophole in that one if I'm a man of flesh? What is it? Well, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love thy neighbor as thyself. If I'm a man of flesh, sometimes I don't like myself, so that means I don't like you at all some days. Why? But if I'm a new creation, there's a new standard, isn't there? Go back to John in chapter 13, would you? John 13. Gospel of John in chapter 13. Verse 34 and 35. A new commandment I give you, Jesus says. A new commandment I give you. That you love one another. Even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Verse 34 is very powerful. What's the new standard of love? Love your neighbor as yourself? No, it's love your neighbor as Christ loves your neighbor. How does Christ love your neighbor? Did Jesus Christ sacrifice all for your neighbor who's not a Christian yet? He did. Jesus sacrificed all for your neighbor who's not a Christian yet. Okay, and you're a new creation of faith working through love. And so if you have the love of Christ, guess what? Will you sacrifice all for your neighbor? Well, you don't know my neighbor. If you knew my neighbor, it's a different story. No, it's not a different story. It's not a different story. Do we believe that we're a new creation? Old man is dead and gone. New man is Christ. Do we believe that? And if we live by the faith of Christ, will we produce the love of Christ? And the love of Christ is a sacrifice for all mankind. Now, does that mean your neighbor's going to accept you? Absolutely not. But does it mean that you need to sacrifice? What's the standard of love? We know love by this. What? That He laid down His life for us, and we ought, look up that word ought, it's a debt. That word ought means a debt. Owe no debt to any man except for the debt of. We know love by this, that He laid down His life for us, and we ought, debt, indebted to who? Christ. We ought to lay down our lives for one another. Right? It's not about me. And in your life, it's not about you. It's about everybody else. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Since you have in obedience to the truth purified your souls for a sincere love of the brethren, fervently love one another from the heart. It kind of sounds like that's the standard that we're called to, and when we're called out of darkness into light. Does that kind of sound that way to you? The standard then is the total and complete sacrifice of self for others, including your enemies. Would you agree with that? Are you sure? Do you got a scripture on that one? Let's try this one. Matthew chapter 5. I mean, the Gospels at the end, talking about the sacrifice of Christ is sufficient. But take a look, if you would, at Matthew chapter 5 and verse 43. You've heard that it said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Matthew chapter 5, verse 43. Now remember, Jesus has taken the law and elevating it to the standard, the new creation standard, isn't He? Well, that's what I've been told. I looked it up. It seems to be right to me. Now, if I'm wrong, let me know on this one. Seems like Jesus is ratcheting up the standard a little bit. What does He say here? You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Are you ready? In order that you may be what? Sons of God. Sons of God. Wasn't that what it says there? There's a new creation standard. The love of Christ, the new creation standard. Faith working through love. Go back to Galatians if you would. Galatians. The love of Christ. Paul makes an interesting statement here in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. Kevin, I think you might have quoted this. Somebody quoted this already. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ, Paul says. And it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, literally in this physical body, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and delivered Himself up for me. This is an awesome verse because it says, the life that I live in this body, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who, here's His faith, who loved me and delivered Himself up for me. Now, Here's the new creation standard. To love others and to deliver yourself up for others. Is that the new creation standard? Is the definition of love to sacrifice yourself? Jesus said, when you've done it unto the least of these, you've done it unto me. Didn't he? Yes or no? So, brethren, the new creation standard is the love of Christ. Now, it's been 4 years since I've been working through a series on the love of Christ. Now, Jeff asked me to come over in 2005 and preach, and I think he kind of gave me open range or open whatever, and I took advantage of it. And I didn't realize I could preach until whenever. And I preached a sermon on the glory of God. And the glory of God as seen in Ezekiel, as a rainbow. And the glory of God was seen as a rainbow in its many facets of light. The glory of God has distinct facets to it. And when you take a look at the Scripture, the Spirit of glory that dwells within us is the one who glorifies us. And we are glorified and are being glorified. Amen? And so when you take a look at the facets of glory, or the riches of glory as it would be in the book of Ephesians, you find one of those facets to be love and joy and peace and patience, and Colossians, compassion and mercy and humility and forbearance and forgiveness. You take a look. And there's many more. And when Moses said, "Show me thy glory," and God passed before him, God, loving kindness and compassion and mercy. The glory of God is manifest in His magnificent character. And so when people see you as a compassionate man, a tender man, a courageous man for Christ, they see Christ in you. In the same way, there are facets in regards to the love of God. And I've come to the conclusion that love is the greatest and most brilliant facet of glory. Turn with me to the book of 1 John, if you would, and chapter 2. 1 John and chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, I'd like to begin, if we could, in verse 7. 1 John chapter 2, verse 7, and we're going to read down to verse 11. Beloved, I am not writing a new commandment to you, but an old commandment which you have had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you have heard. Oh, on the other hand, I am writing a new commandment to you, which is true in Him and in you. It's rather interesting. Jesus said, a new commandment I give you. What was that new commandment that Jesus gave? Love others as I have loved you. The old commandment is what? Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, soul, and strength. That's still in effect. You can't love others like Christ loved unless you love God first. And then you can love others as Jesus loved. So yeah, I'm talking about the old commandment. Our love for God complete. Body, soul, mind, and strength. But then, the standard is to love as Jesus loved, a complete and total sacrifice for others. And then he says here, beloved, I'm not writing a new commandment to you, but an old commandment which you have from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you have heard, which is to love the Lord thy God. But he said, oh, on the other hand, I am writing a new commandment to you, which is true in Him. Did Jesus Christ lay it all down for you? Now here's the new creation. I love it. It's true in Him and what? And true in you. It's true in you. Do you believe that? I can tell it's nap time. I can tell it's nap time. My nap time's 2 o'clock and I got it done already. I skipped a nap and got a quad shot espresso. I was going to brought you one back, but I knew you were going to be here. No nap. Drive it on through. Okay? By the Spirit of God. Not espresso. I would have done it regardless. I want her to be good. So here we go. Verse 8, on the other hand, I am writing a new commandment to you, which is true in Him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. Look at verse 9. The one who says he is in the light and yet hates his brother is in the darkness until now. The one who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. But the one who hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. You hate somebody? I can't forgive them. I can't forgive them for what they did. I won't forgive them. You do not know what they did to me. I won't. And what did Jesus say? That's a dangerous position to play. Jesus loved all men enough, even those who knew what they were doing in killing him. He forgave them. He bore all their sins on the cross so that later on when they would come to their senses, and they had bowed the knee and confessed Him as Lord and be immersed, forgiven and forgotten. Let's take a look at the love of Jesus. And I don't want to read it because it's quite long, but you know how it goes. First they stripped him and then they beat him brutally. Wrapped him up in a nice robe and crown. Made sure it was secure on his head, you know. Whack, whack, whack. And then, Kevin, you got a nice beard. Anybody got, is Mike Harbour in here? Oh, Mikey's missed my, Mike. Look at his beard. That's a nice beard, Mike. Would you come up here for a second? I want a sermon illustration.
Yeah.
I love Mike Harbour. I'm serious. Man, that is really... Now, what do you suppose would happen if I grabbed this really hard and I got it really... That hurts just like that, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, and I just... and I didn't let go, but I just pulled as hard as I could. Now, you suppose... Somebody talked about scalping. Who talked about scalping? Jerry?
I do.
Okay. Do you suppose that the skin, the follicles would separate and I could rip his skin off? Depending on how long his beard was? And even if not, do you think it would be rather a mess?
Uh-huh.
And then, thank you, I won't rip your beard out. Okay, you didn't have, I would have grabbed you. You didn't have anything to grab. So he's been brutally beaten. The crown of thorns, punched mercilessly, blindfold punched. Hey, prophesy, who beat you that time? And then he goes before Pilate, right? Pilate says, don't you know I have the authority? Why don't you talk to me? I have the authority to stay the moment of execution or to kill you. What does Jesus say? Calm, cool, and collected. You would have no authority unless it was granted to you from above. And he who has delivered me into your hands is the greater sin. I could just see Pilate, whoa, jello, right? Isn't that how it worked? Okay. So, they take him out, and they're walking up the hill, he falls down, they get somebody to carry the cross, and these women are crying. Now notice, this is love, by the way. What's love? Focused on self, or focused on others? Serving self, or sacrificing for others? But you tell me, what is it? It's a total complete focus on others. The women are crying, don't cry for me. His focus was such on other people. He was so, are you listening to this? He was so in tune to other people's needs and other people's feelings and other people's hurts and sorrows. He turned to them, he was in pain. I can't even imagine. And he turns to these ladies, don't cry for me. Weep for yourself. Then they put him on the cross and nail him there and they put him in the hole. He's standing there. And of course, you know the abuse. If you are the Son of God, if you are the King. Right? Now, right out of the pit. Because what did Satan say? You know, after the 40 days of starvation. Hey, if you're the Son of God, if you're the Son of God. So Satan was speaking to those guys. You can hear him hissing.
Yes, he was.
I believe that. Soldiers! You know what you eat? The two thieves! And what does he say? Remember, he's not focused on himself. He knows these guys are going to be burned in the lake of fire forever and eternity. And so he says, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Those Jewish rulers knew what they were doing. They knew. And then the thief on the cross changes his mind. I said, would you remember me when you come in your kingdom? Today you'll be with me in paradise. Oh, Mom, your son. John, your mother. Every time. It was always about everybody else. It was not about his pain. It was not about what people did to him. I can never forgive them because of what they did to me. Aren't you glad Jesus doesn't play that role? That's the role of the flesh. That's a fleshly man. My wife didn't get up and make me breakfast this morning. I can't even believe it. She didn't do my coffee right. And I know, ground for divorce. Somebody caught that one. Yes. Okay. Look, across the board, Jesus is always focused on everybody else. The reason he went through that suffering is for you. He was thinking about you. You know, every moment of his life, every breath he took, every thought he had, every word he spoke was for you. How do we know that's true? How do we know that's true? The church was on the heart of God before the foundation of the world. Isn't that true? And Jesus came into the world for the express purpose of establishing the church, which is his bride. He died for a whore. Who was the whore? Who? He died. He knew that he couldn't make a mistake. Because if he did, he would not have a beautiful bride. The family of God would not be established. So far, so good? Corrections, gentlemen? Come on, we need correct. If this is not right, we need to make corrections. The faith of Christ produces the love of Christ, and the love of Christ by the standard. We know love by this, that He laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for even our enemies. Because who knows what enemy is going to become a dear brother in Christ. Do you know that? When I was at Willamette High School, there was a girl by the name of Joelle Peterson, and she came into the student store. She was one of my store managers, and it is true, they are temples given to pagan worship. It's true. But I was a priest of the King. And so whatever laws of the land there were, I was under a different law. The perfect law of liberty. Joel Peter comes into my store and she goes, Mr. Compton, I heard you're a preacher and I want to know something. My Bible school teacher said the first five books of the Bible are a fairy tale. What do you think? What? I go, now I had Bibles all over the place. In my podium, in my desk, in my office. So I grab my Bible and go, let's take a look. School time. Guess what? She got involved in a Bible club that we had going on after school. And I had the privilege of immersing her into Christ. Now her dad was very involved in the Methodist church they were going to. He was one of the leadership. And man, she wanted her whole family to see this joyous occasion. And when I mercy to Christ, her dad was there. And I'm telling you what, he wanted to kill me. He did. Well, just think about it. What would happen if someone stole your daughter and taught her and she is being immersed into some other belief system? Would you want to go, what are you doing? You want to kill him? Now, you know what? He could have had me fired. He probably could have killed me at the baptism too if he wanted to. Okay? You know who is assisting me in my Bible class that I teach on Sunday morning? Gary Brown. The man standing there who wanted to kill me as I was immersing his daughter into Christ. The enemy became a beloved brother and friend. The love of Christ, the love of Christ sacrifices for all. The love of Christ will produce the family of God. Why did you purify your soul? What does the Bible say? For a sincere love of the brethren. How's the world going to know that we're the family of God? How's the world going to know that we're His disciples? How's the world going to know? Come on, gentlemen. How's the world going to know? By a love for one another. And by definition of God's Word, love is a sacrifice for other people. So what's your need, brother? What can I pray for? Is there something I can physically do for you? Don't ask me to build anything. Somebody could get hurt. Okay? But if I can do something, I'll do it. Steve Dooney and I had a little conversation. I told Steve, I said, Steve, I'm not going to go to Belarus anymore until my boys are grown up. Right? I said, but I want to do something. Tell me what I can do. So Steve goes, I got this thing going on, and I'm thinking then you could fit right in this slot. I go, all right, I'll do it. It's behind the scenes. They're always going to see, always going to know. I don't care. I want to help. It's got a need. Now, I got to get to my point. I don't want to be like a preacher who doesn't preach on what he's supposed to preach on. The family of God. Is your family a family of God? Is your physical family a family of God? You know, the family of God corporate that meets here is made of families of God individual with the name of Hofstetter. With the name of Zesh, with the name of Compton. Would you agree with that? The family of God collective is made of the families of God that God has put together. Now, the love of Christ. Who's my closest neighbor? Who's my closest neighbor? What is it? Yes! My wife is my closest neighbor. My wife is probably one of the most important disciples. Helpmates. You know, Kevin, I was talking with Luke a little bit earlier, and he says, man, Kevin, he's my right-hand man. And I see that. And Kirk Parks is mine. You remind me of Kirk Parks. Even the way you talked this morning, I think, that's awesome. Luke needs you. Praise God for you. I praise God for Kirk. But he's not my closest neighbor. He's not my most important helpmate. He's not one flesh. He's not one flesh with me. Turn to the book of Ephesians and chapter 5. Oh, you knew we were going to get here. You knew we would. The love of Christ. How are you supposed to love your wives? With the love of Christ. There is no other love. The love of Christ, complete and total. What's the definition of the love of Christ? We know love by this, that He laid down His life. In part or in total? Ephesians chapter 5, verse 23. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church, He Himself being the Savior of the body. Verse 25. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her. Why? That he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, that he might present to himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be made holy and blameless. So husbands ought also to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his own wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ also does the church. Brethren, 16 years ago my marriage was on the rocks. Now, my wife and I, when we got married, we said we would never talk about the D word, nor was it a possibility. So, 16 years ago, I would come home, eat my dinner, do whatever I needed to do, and go to bed. And I was the preacher. I did not know the love of Christ because I wasn't living by the faith of Christ. And somehow my brother Steve got wind of my problem when it was me. And so Steve took a week off from work, and Steve and Bonnie came down. And that was probably the toughest week of my life. Wanna know why? Now, my brother Steve used to beat me up when I was a kid. You did. Don't be doing stuff. He used to throw dirt claws at me. I was his favorite target. Run, Billy! Whack! Dirt claw! Kill! Oh! Don't deny it. That's because you weren't the one receiving the dirt claw treatment. You know? You know? This is a sermon illustration, okay? It's forgiven. It just is a good illustration. You know? All things work for good to those who... And this is working really good for me right now. Okay? He goes, here, stick this in your mouth. Of course, I'm a little kid. I stick the hose in my mouth. Okay. Yeah, don't reenact it. Okay. I remember vividly. We have this, I think, on video. Or not video, but, you know, the old VA or 8mm, 8mm. And my mom used to take pictures like crazy. And they would stick the hose on my diaper. You know, spilling out. I was emotionally traumatized by my brother. But the worst beating I ever deserved was that week. And I remember Bonnie spent time with Sharon, and Bonnie just gently and lovingly worked with Sharon, which is really the way to do it because they didn't have the relationship where she could come in and just start whacking. Okay, but my brother Steve basically came in, and man, the first day, he says, you're going to sit down and you're going to shut up and you're going to listen and you're going to answer my questions and then you're going to practice what we talk about. 7 days. You know what it was? He was working on destroying that old man. That self that had gotten in the way. You know what gets in the way of the sacrifice? Self. Didn't Jesus say something like this? If anybody wants to follow me, they need to deny themselves. Take up the cross. Follow me. Didn't he say something like that? Okay? Look at that word, deny self. It's the same exact word where Jesus denied Jesus. I don't know him. I don't know him. We're way too intimate with that old man still. Last time I checked, he was crucified. How come he's still hanging around? So So Jesus in Steve's suit came down and worked me over. And I'll tell you what, I was shook down to my bootstraps. I didn't want to lose my marriage. I knew that it was absolutely going south, and I knew that I was to blame. And somebody said, and I think it was Jerry Hoffman, that if your marriage is going south, gentlemen, it's predominantly your fault. And I agree with that. You may disagree with that, and that's okay. Brethren, I'm not a doormat. I'm the head of my wife. She calls me Lord, little L. And you know, that shakes me down to my bootstraps when she says that, because all of a sudden there's a standard there. But you know what? What's true in Him is true in us. What's true in Him is true in us. Do you believe that? He made a total and complete sacrifice. Can you? You're on the hook, gentlemen. Oh, I'm on the hook too. Now, we're not quick to respond to that one, are we? What do you think, Jeff?
Hey. It's not a game.
It's not a game. And I'm not telling a lot of jokes, except for the dirt clod one. You said, man up! You don't need to be a burly man like you to man up. Man up is the man inside, the conviction to drive it through, to sacrifice self. My brother Steve taught me some lessons both by that week and also by some things he said. So Steve, you can stand up now. I'm going to ask you some questions, and this is your time to preach. Stand up.
Right here?
Yeah, you can stand up right there.
Run, Stevie, run!
Who was the last one to get shoes in your house when shoes were needed?
Oh, me.
Yeah. Who was the last one to get a new coat in the house?
Same.
Why?
Because I got people I'm responsible for.
You got people you're responsible for. Jesus laid it down for you. My brother Steve consistently has demonstrated to me, both in word and deed, Bonnie and the kids come first. Steve gave me a little fish plaque. Remember what's on that fish plaque? You don't, do you? It's your time to shine and you forgot. You can sit down. Thanks. It says, the greatest thing that you can give your children is a love for their mother. You want your boys to be men of God? To have the love of Christ? Where are they going to see it, Nick?
No.
Where are they going to see it, Nick? Your boys. And you. You first. How? When they see you loving your wife. Sacrificially. This mystery is great. This mystery is great. I'm talking about Christ in the church, but it's born out in our marriages. How are our kids going to see Christ in the church if they don't see it in you as you lay down your life for your wife? That couch potato thing really bothers me. That bothers me a lot. I don't lay down on the couch. How oftentimes do you see me laying on the couch? Shut up, go give me another... Do I do that? No. Well, if I do, say it, but I don't, do I? Because your uncle shared and I've come to realize, gentlemen, that the spiritual revolution that we got going on has to understand the standard of the new creation, which is a total sacrifice of self. First, for our closest neighbors. If you can't have a solid marriage with your wife, how's the world going to see Christ in the church? How are your kids going to see Christ in the church? You can send them to a Christian school and be in the greatest church, but if you're not doing it at home, you said it yourself. And you're absolutely right. If you're not showing Christ in the church, in your home, as the Lord, as the Savior, as the Head, there's no way anybody else is going to fix your kids. That's exactly right. So, gentlemen, we need to man up and lay it all down for our wives, and then for our kids, and then for each other, and those who are not yet our brethren. Now let me get practical. I'll give you some examples. And I gave you this example last year. Jerry gives us the example every year, and I am crushed. Jerry, where are you? I'm crushed every time you use that example. Don't ever do it again. The note thing. See, Jerry? There's other people that don't want you to ever use that example again. That's right. What he's doing is right. But excel still more and more. Now, some of you know I'm a morning person. 4 o'clock in the morning, man, I'm on. And it doesn't have anything to do with the espresso. I'm on. The buzzer goes off, I'm up, I'm showering, man, it's exciting. I'm processing the day. I sit down after that. I'm writing down my things to do, prioritizing those. You know, that time management thing he's shared in the, you know, whatever that book is. Fuzzy and Fuzzy Cup, that's it. And I got it all down. I'm ready to go. I'm visualizing the day. I'm ready to rip and tear, right? Do my prayer time, my memory work, and stuff like that. 4 o'clock, and I'm driving through the day. And you know when it gets about 9 o'clock at night? Unless I have a Bible study. Somebody talked about passion today. Who was it? Mike, where are you? Oh, man, I'm telling you what, I can be dog dead tired, but if I got a Bible study with a lost soul, woo, man, I'm on. I'm telling you what, but as soon as I'm done the last amen, I'm dragging myself out of the car. I can barely get the car door open. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Now, when you got, I'm telling you, studies, I'm energized, but I'm telling you what, after 9 o'clock, it's like the system goes, unless there's a lost person Bible study. So I drag myself home at 9:30. And guess who's waiting? Now who's waiting? My closest neighbor. Okay? I don't dare go to bed. My body's screaming, go to bed! 4 o'clock's coming! I mean, do you know what I'm talking about? And you know what? I don't dare put my head on that pillow. My wife says, you know what? Your head hits the pillow, you're gone. And that's exactly right. So you know what I do? Power up. Power up. Man up. I like that one, man up. I gotta start using that. Too close, Tudor Sid. You know, I'm driving home and I go, you know, my Sharon's going to be waiting for me. So I'm up. I'm alert. And you know what? I listen to her. And I don't do this. I don't do that. I listen for how she says stuff. I watch her with my eyeballs because, you know, women, they communicate with all ways. You know what? Live with your wife in an understanding way. What they say oftentimes is not what they mean, gentlemen. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Oh, listen with your eyeballs too. Oh, and the worst one, the hardest one, is listen with your heart. I don't have a heart. You better get one quick. They got to sacrifice it all. And I'm listening. And I'm processing. And you know, she'll give me a date. And I'll go, whoa, 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 whoa. Stop. I get my little day planner out. Can you run by that one more time? Where am I supposed to be when? For who? Oh, Ryan's got an orthodontist appointment and you're going to be at ladies. Okay, got it down. Okay. You know what? And I'm listening. I'm processing. And Sharon has told me, you don't know what that means to me. When you come home and you stay up and you're with me and you're there, completely there. Amen. There's no remote. I don't even know how to use a remote, right? Now you're my, we have two of them. I don't know which one works. I know where the on button is, but once I get the television to go, how do I get to the, I don't know. And I'm not bragging, I'm just, that's true. I don't know. You can tell. I don't know how to use this thing. IT guy, come to my house. But I can engage with my wife. You know what happened? My wife called me right before we started. She says, honey, how you doing? I'm going in to preach. She goes, I'm excited. I said, can I tell them we have a good marriage? She goes, well, yeah! Just that. She goes, I'm going to pray for you. We'll get the boys. We'll pray. She goes, preach it. Let them know how we're doing. When I come home, it's hugs and kisses and talks and if she needs, she does this great big dinner and we get up and clear the table and sometimes you do dishes, sometimes I do the dishes and you know, for she's a jolly good female, for she's a jolly good female, for she's, right? She's saying, yes, stupid. You want to know who loves it? You want to know who's always thinking about her? You want to know who knows? You want to know who knows? I'm always thinking about her. When I'm out on Bible study, she's praying for me, and I know she's there. She knows as soon as I'm out of Bible study, I'm giving her a call. Honey, I'm on my way home. And she gets herself. And I kind of mentally get myself, although I probably don't look very good. Because that's a sacrifice. I hate doing dishes. I hate putting out the garbage. But that's a part. The most painful thing is to stay up when my body is screaming to go to bed. I have decided that I will be the visionary, like you said. This is our family identity. Every morning. Nick, you said it. We do it every morning. We do Proverbs studies, don't we? We do studies on being a man of integrity. A lad that distinguishes himself. Every morning. We pray together. We read some great books in regards to being men. And you know what? Sharon doesn't have that burden. But before she did, that's not her burden to bear, is it? It's mine. Brethren, I don't know what sacrifice you need to make for your nearest neighbor, but I'll tell you what, if you don't make your sacrifice for your nearest neighbor, and you win the world and you lose your wife and your kids, and you're worse than an infidel. You lose your wife and your kids, you're worse than an infidel. You're saying, well, you can talk, your kids aren't grown up yet. You're right. You could level that accusation against me if you want. Why don't you pray for me that I would continue to make the sacrifice for my wife and my kids? As many of you know, you're on my prayer list. And I pray for you, men. You're on my prayer list on Saturday. I think of you Fridays, too, because I know you have that family time. Brethren, it's time to sacrifice for the family of God. The standard is the love of Christ. And it's only going to happen through the faith of Christ. And I want to close with this passage of Scripture. Ephesians in chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, beginning in verse 14, reading down to verse 21. For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that you, men, maybe that He would grant you, men, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with powers of the Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know the love of Christ, that total sacrifice which surpasses knowledge because it goes into the realm of practice, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God, that your wife and your kids might see Christ in you. Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to Him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Questions, gentlemen? I don't know, we have time to do this? Where's Jay? Okay, questions or comments real quick? Yes, sir.
You know, I think you really hit on a point that show our wives that they are important to us, that they have that value to us. Because sometimes women have that low self-esteem issue that they work with.
So many do, yeah.
You know? And if we can't build them up and hold them up, who else can?
Absolutely. To cherish them. Go back and look at that word cherish. To value them. And how can you value them? Well, through the sacrifices you make for them. And they'll know it immediately.
Yep.
They're much more perceptive than we are. See? Any other questions or comments?